Why else is there still an Israel with all they that hate them? And this is not just the Middle East. This is the U.S. This is much of the world. Anti-Semitism. And still they remain. It is because God. They are God people. And what I love about the matter in the Middle East and God and what he is doing there is the fact that whatever happened, even though man yet at this time cannot see the hand of God there, it shall surely be. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. We looked at Isaiah, the 60th chapter. You look over that 60th chapter of Isaiah, and you say, this points to spiritual Israel. Well, the question arises, does it point to natural Israel too, or doesn't it? I think it points to both. That's the way that I feel about it. And there's something that especially intrigues me about the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Starts out so beautifully, "Arise, shine, shine, thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Well, that in and of itself is beautiful. Far as spiritual Israel, far as natural Israel is concerned, such a time is coming. But you go down through the 60th chapter of Isaiah, and there's something there that is especially beautiful. Fourteenth verse, 60:14. "The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee, City of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." Okay, granted, spiritualism. But let's suppose this is also natural Israel. Consider that they who hate the Jews have wiped out the Jews. The Jews have suffered at the hands of the Gentiles to an unbelievable degree. And the only way we can have any idea of just how much the suffering is, unless it would be to be a part of it. That's the only way. That's the only way. So we have any idea at all of what the Jew has suffered at the hands of the Gentiles, which someone brought upon themselves, but the Lord has permitted and allowed this. And that in the resurrection, that they must go to Jerusalem. They must look up to the Jew. That's God's remedy. That's His remedy for the dilemma of the Middle East. And I think that is beautiful. That's the way God does things. That is God's remedy. What's more beautiful than that? Because He tells the Jews, He said, "I'm going to take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. And the Jew will be prepared for the Gentile to come unto them." I think it's beautiful. That's God's remedy for man's dilemma. One other thing quickly. In the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, indeed, some of it points to spiritual Israel. But there is one scripture that I especially like here, which I feel points to natural Israel. And I love the way it's put. That's the 4th verse. thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. And the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. You look in the margin, and you notice Hephzibah, which we don't hear that word very much. My delight is in her. And then Beulah. That's not many named Beulah, but I think that's a beautiful name. Beulah. Thy land, Beulah. Married. They will marry the land. This is scripture. This is prophecy. This shall be. No doubt about it whatsoever. Let's consider for a moment government. We have the governments, the United Nations. We have in the U.S. our president and the Congress. Each nation having their own administration of one type or another, be it a democracy or a theocracy or a monarchy or whatever it is. Each one's lined up to their own dilemma. And we just had an election and a new president. And lo and behold, said a president of change. So where's the dilemma now? We're going to change because the previous administration just didn't work out. So he comes up with the change. So what happened? Energy tax. No, we can't do that because if you do, so many are going to lose their jobs. Well, he said, he promised when he was campaigning that the middle class, he's not going to talk to them at all. They're going to get taxed to go down for them. So he gets in and he finds out, well, this is not going to work. We've got to have more taxes. So here we got another dilemma. And each and every thing he proposed, somebody said, now, hey, this can't work. So where's the dilemma? It is fine to do these things, to change, as long as it doesn't affect me. That's the dilemma. He said, sacrifice. Beautiful. So what do the people say? Let's see you sacrifice, and then we'll sacrifice. Otherwise, you're putting a burden on us. So we have dilemma. God's remedy all the way through is a change of heart. But each one of these things, the countries I mentioned, I have scriptures I thought were very good for them. Time does not permit it. But there are scriptures pointing to each one of these problems as far as the Middle East, Iraq, Somalia, all of them. And as far as the United Nations, as far as the Congress, the President is concerned, and you look at your cities, and you look at your suburbs, and the cities, they came out of the cities and went into the suburbs, and so the problems not only were left in the city, but now they're in the suburbs, and you've got a dilemma all the way around. What tickled me in East Lansing, not about 25 miles from us, the MSU was prominent there. There was a section about so big who said, we are going to secede from the city of Lansing, or East Lansing, because the taxes are too high and they're not doing the things we want them to. And so here we find the matter of some getting together, demanding their rights, and saying, we're going somewhere else. Again, a dilemma. Man's dilemma is not just one thing. Many things put in together to make one huge dilemma. Skip over the traces just a moment because of time. As far as finances are concerned,
the economy, the deficit, the trade deficit, the dollar, if you go on and on.
God has a remedy for that. And that remedy is that the time comes, that money isn't going to be any good. And what you have is Ezekiel, the 7th chapter and the 19th verse, James 5, 1 to 7, which are straight to the point and come down to a matter exactly what's going to be, because money means power. Power means money. So, they that control the money control the power. What's God's remedy? Well, you look at Ezekiel, you look at James. Money thrown on the street, be no good. That's God's remedy. The proud, the high will be brought low. That's God's remedy. Those who are low will be brought up. God's remedy. As far as social is concerned, what I have here, many, many problems. We are emotionally involved. We have loved ones who know not the truth except what we can bring forth to them. And they're suffering in this. Women. Women. Considered a minority? Women. Who in some countries are less than nothing. Unbelievable. Countries where a woman is given in marriage, and if they don't like the dowry or whatever, not only can they just do away with her, but they burn her to death. Can you imagine that? Unbelievable. But you think of women who are the most precious of all, because if it wasn't for a woman, we wouldn't even be here, that treated as dirt. It's a dilemma. Women fighting for their rights. It's still fighting to this day. And why? Because of the lack of understanding of Scripture and truth and righteousness and what it really means. Man's dilemma. A lack of knowledge of God and His Word and His principles. The result is the suffering of women. And abortion. Oh, there's a subject that is very touchy. Very touchy. A dilemma indeed. And a question of whether a woman has a right to bring forth a child or not. Oh, well. Children, kids, and schools, and just there in the Lansing, as I say, not very far from where I live, about 20 miles. Elementary school hears a gun, brings it to school because this boy threatened him, and he had no way of protecting himself, so he brought the gun. He just found it there at the house. And this is cropping up more and more. And the things that go on in the schools and the lack of training for the kids because both work and the parents aren't there and they're, what do they call them, latchkey kids and so on. It is disheartening to say the very least. But God's remedy for that, Isaiah 11, 6, 8 and 9, where it speaks of a little child leading them in a time when indeed children will have the instructions and be brought up. And it's a very precious thing, but God's remedy is a remedy that man knows nothing about. But we have to have the opportunity to tell them. We can point these things out, and that's the precious part of it, because the dilemma is there, and it's getting worse. And well, I don't know. Sometimes you get a little fearful. You go into some cities and places, even towns, and some of the things you hear that go on, especially after dark. Yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, it's becoming more and more aware to us. That's exactly what it means. But then there's a matter of housing, of homeless, of poverty, of minorities.
Health care, jobs, crime, guns, gay rights, AIDS, drugs, all part of the social dilemma. And then you got the planet Earth, the environment, oil, farms, ozone layer, nuclear power, earthquake. It's all there. I have here 41. Each one a dilemma. And only God can solve. We have the truth. We rejoice in the truth. We thank the Lord. But the thing of it is, that truth becomes more precious every day because, yea, though we walk, as I said, through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because He is with us. And again, we can talk about God's remedy. We can live and rejoice in those things because God's remedy is He began with the church and then the world of mankind. And lo and behold, He gave us these things through that servant and that divine plan, and that which is why we can rest at night and sleep and rejoice no matter what. Thank the Lord the more.
Thank you, Brother Buckley, for your service bringing to our attention the many problems that are facing mankind today. And Brother Edgar has done a good job of bringing to our attention and the remedy that is there, the kingdom. How thankful we are. May God bless this message to our ears this morning, that we might appreciate more fully the remedy that really is required to bring all of these dilemmas back to where man will begin to love one another and do good and so on. So we thank you, brother, for that service. We will close with hymn number 22, Brother Edgar's choice, Blessed Bible. And just before we close, we remind you that the next service will be Brother R. Jesuit and Brother Paul Mesra. We'll have two brethren serving back to back. So be here, try and be here at 10:45. So let us now close with hymn number 22. We'll rise on the fourth, and Brother Edgar will close with prayer.
Dearly beloved Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. We bow thanking Thee, rejoicing for Thy truth, for Thy word, for those things brought forth unto us. Thank Thee that we are able to understand and know what Thy remedy is for a man
dilemma. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee thou hast opened it up unto us and lightened us. We pray thou would be with us as we continue, that indeed we might be a blessing to one another, and the word spoken from the platform might indeed help the more in our efforts to follow after, to know the Lord Jesus, rejoicing continually, giving thanks in our beloved Lord Jesus' name. Amen.